Okay, we're going to finish our lesson today on reconciled, what it means to be reconciled. Okay, so from last week in Colossians, we were talking about, again, how are we reconciled, that God himself has to be the one who reconciles the world back to himself. He is the perfect holy God. We are the broken sinners. We can't mend that relationship. We can't get back to that original relationship. It has to be God who does it. Colossians says that he reconciled us through the physical death of the body of Jesus Christ, meaning that Jesus has to be fully human. Jesus has to be fully God for him to be the Messiah, for Christianity to stand and be true. But it is always through Christ that God reconciles the world to himself. What that does, it says in Colossians, is that when we believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that we are presented to God as holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, which is absolutely a miracle that God could see us that way. That's why this has to be God's work, because it involves a miracle and we can't perform it. As we wound up last week, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart." Let's get our focus right. It's not outward appearance that God is looking at. It's not outward appearance that we should look at. What is a changed life? What does that look like? He says, "If we're out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer." Everything is our spiritual, our eternity. It's not based on just what we see in the world, the worldly view. We know that everyone is an eternal being, and where you spend eternity is the important thing. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself." How? "Through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Only God can do that. Only God can say, "I don't count your sins against you." He's the one that's been offended. We're the ones that offended him by sinning. He is the only one who is capable of saying, "I don't count your sins against you." And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf." Here's the message. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So through this reconciliation, through Christ, we can become the very righteousness of God, and that is the only means that we can stand in the presence of God. It has to be through Christ. Christ is prime. The primacy, supremacy of Christ. There is one narrow way. No one comes unto the Father except through him. And it has to be that it is through Christ that we stand in the presence of God. There are not many pathways to God. There is one. And it's a narrow path. Then finally, it says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we can be holy, without blemish, free from accusations, not having our sins counted against us." That's how we become reconciled to God. We are broken people. We can no more repair ourselves or the relationship between us and God than this clay pot can reassemble itself And I tried and I tried and I tried to get enough pictures that would show it trying to reassemble itself, and it didn't happen. I was so disappointed. Turn back to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29:15, God puts this in perspective with the clay pot. Isaiah 29:15 says, "Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?'" And it's so easy for us to slip into that mode of, you know what, if I do this, it's not going to affect anybody. Nobody's even going to know if I do this. I mean, I know it's wrong, but as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, then does it really matter? Evidently, exactly everything that we do matters because God sees it. So anytime we get into that mode of saying, does it really matter if nobody sees it? God is watching. God knows everything. He says, "You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay." Are you making God to be more like us? Because if I can bring God down and make him a little more manageable, then you know, maybe that relationship I can do better. He says, "Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He did not make me'? Can the pot say of the potter, 'He knows nothing'?" There's no more difference in this shattered clay pot thinking that it was offended because I broke it with a hammer. I didn't hear it right before I hit it going, "Please don't hit me. Please don't break me." But yet God is saying that's what we do when we try to make God very much like ourselves. We're nothing more than a clay pot. And we can't comprehend, we can't fathom who God is in his entirety. We can't say, "God, here's what I want out of you." That's not right. Whenever we bring God down to our level, then we accuse God of not being able to try to fix us. That, "God, why don't you fix what's going on in my life?" And God is saying, you're the clay. You have no business telling the potter what to do. You don't have any right. Turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45:9. "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a pot shard among the pot shards on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?'" No. The clay has nothing to do with it. It is formed by the potter who has total control. We don't have any control of saying, "God, you know, here's what I would like to be whenever you get started on me." It's no different than this pot begging me not to hit it with a hammer. That's ludicrous. But yet, that's exactly what Isaiah is saying. Who are we to question God and what he's doing in our life? And then if we can't even do that, if we can't do that, how in the world can we possibly think that we as sinners can fix a broken relationship with the God Almighty? How can we possibly think that we're up to that sort of a challenge? So we need someone much greater than ourselves to fix us. We can't do it. We need somebody greater than ourselves to put us back together and to mend that broken relationship. We're the broken ones. We're the sinners. We're the ones that have lashed out and acted against God. There's no possible way for us to fix that. So it has to be the stronger helping the weaker, because we're incapable of doing that. We must have someone who is both all-powerful and unbroken. So that's why he made his son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so he could punish sin for all time and for anyone who believed in the finished work of his son. Then he can say, "Then I can reconcile you back to myself." We have to be reconciled back to him. I'm even incapable of fixing this pot. That's how pitiful I am. I'm really in. You might think, okay, here you got a broken pot. It takes a higher being to repair it. Right? You would think that. Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried to put one of these back together. This is as good as I can do. And so you would think, okay, now, you know, you would hope that McKee is pretty intelligent and kind of skillful with his hands and stuff, and that's as good as he can do. And some of you I know out there are thinking you need to tell Lana something. Because I can hear it now, Lana going, boy, you're dumber than a clay pot. So that's a new one for her. But I did my best. I really did try to get this back together. And there's misalignments, there's misfits, there's holes, there's some of that when I hit it turned to dust. There's no way to put that back together. And so this was the best I could do, and I hope that I'm a higher being than a clay pot. So I did my best. How impossible is it that I can think that I could fix myself? If I can't even fix a clay pot, how am I going to fix a sinful, broken man who has torn away from God and told God, I'm capable of running my own life? How ridiculous is that? To think that I could heal myself, repair this relationship with a holy, sinless, perfect God. That's why it has to be God reconciling us back to himself. We can't do it. It has to be a miracle from God. When he does that, it says that we are presented to him holy in his sight. We are without blemish. We're free from accusation. He's not going to count our sins against us. And so here's how he sees me, and that is as if I have never been broken. He sees me as if I have never sinned. He sees me as perfect and holy in his sight. He sees me as being acceptable to be in his presence. Now this is perfect, holy God who is eternal, who is all-knowing, who has never sinned, who is perfect, eternally perfect. And he says, McKee, you're welcome in my presence now. So that's the miracle that has to occur, and only God can do that. So here is my condition. This is my condition on earth, daily life. I'm broken. I'm a misfit. I have out of alignment. I am a broken person. This is my condition here. I'm full of missing pieces. I'm sinners. We're sinners all. We're tied temporarily to this world. We're pitiful. We're powerless to fix ourselves. This is our condition. This is our position in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we have the position of being holy, without blemish, free from accusation, not having our sins counted against us. But it is only the position that is guaranteed through the work of Jesus Christ. That's the only way it can happen. That's the only possibility of us standing in the presence of God in this position. It is only through Christ. It is through the curtain of his blood. It is through the physical death of the body of Christ. God sees me as his very son, holy and blameless, free from spot, stain or blemish, perfect and pure, welcomed into his kingdom. I have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there is no way that a person can be reconciled to God. There is nothing that we can do to fix that relationship and reconcile ourselves to God. God has to reach out. God has to be the one that does this. It is our position in Christ that allows this to occur. The more we accept that sacrifice, the more we realize what it took to reconcile us back to Him, the more we live in this position rather than our condition. And that has everything to do with how we live every day. We know that our condition is broken and sinful, but it is how God sees me that gives me new life. It's how God sees me as His Son that allows me to live a different kind of life every single day. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep falling apart and trying to repair myself and do no better than a clay pot. The more we live in that position, the more our condition, the less impact it will have in our lives. If we live in a broken condition constantly, and we're always worried about, really, did God really fix that? Did He forgive that part of me? We're always going to be guilty. We're always going to be asking ourselves, was Christ's work enough? Did He bleed enough for me to cleanse this sin? And so what we're doing is making less of Christ's crucifixion than it really was. Whereas if we live in our position in Christ, meaning God sees me as clean and pure as His Son, because His blood covers God's eyes, I can live differently. I can live differently every single day. Here's a out of a book. It says, to be reconciled is to be brought into right relationship, into harmony. The believer who is not aware of his position of acceptance in Christ is caught in the struggle to improve his condition in order to feel acceptable to God. I'm going to be working on those cracks all my life. I'm going to be concentrated on my shortcomings. I'm going to be concentrating on my sin, trying to fix that when it's impossible. So first of all, we must consider the area in which we are not accepted by God, nor ever can be. What part of your life are you saying, you know, God, I better fix that part for myself. I think I know better what I'm lacking. You're going to be struggling your whole life. It is only natural for us to feel that our spiritual walk and service make us acceptable to our Father. We imagine that it is our responsibility with His help, to live and serve so faithfully and fruitfully that He will approve of us, and therefore continually and abundantly bless us. We are making the natural mistake of depending on condition instead of position for our acceptance. So what he's saying is, we struggle, we try to fix ourselves, and oh, by the way, God, if you want to help me here, I'll let you. You're going to let the creator of the universe try to help you? But I'm taking the prime. I'm taking the main position. I'm going to fix myself. And God, if you'd like to help me, come along. You see where that gets you? It's hopeless, folks. It's hopeless. We are making the natural mistake of depending on condition instead of position for our acceptance. In seeking to do rather than to be, in attempting to give out more than we take in, our condition becomes barren and carnal. The more we struggle to fix ourselves, the deeper we're going to get. The further from God we're going to get. The worse we're going to get. Because it takes a miracle and we can't do that. We are concerned about the sinfulness of self but no longer do we depend on improvement in that realm for our acceptance. We are resting in a position, in a person who is fully and forever accepted by God, one in whom there is no improvement necessary or possible. We have exchanged unimprovable self for the perfect one. If my position is not in Jesus Christ, who is the perfect God, who has paid all sin, the penalty for all sin, then my struggle is going to be every single day, and I'm just going to get further and further from God because I'm going to try to fix this mess myself. And I am no better at doing this than a dumb clay pot. We have to have God. We have to have the miracle of Christ. We have to be reconciled back to God. I want to wind up again with Romans 5. Romans 5, 9. And again, I want you to see how many times he uses the word through. These things have to happen through Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The message is, be reconciled to God. If we believe in Jesus Christ, you have been reconciled to God. God himself desired to carry this miracle out. And evidently he thought it was well worth the sacrifice that he gave in order to make it happen. It is up to us to accept it or reject it. If we reject it, we will never be reconciled to God, and we will never be in his presence. For eternity, we will be separated from him. If we accept his Son, Jesus Christ, he reconciles us to him through the blood of Christ, and we stand in his presence holy, without blemish, free from accusation, not having our sins counted against us. We have been reconciled. Has to be that way. Any questions or comments? Anything? Yes, sir.
Tommy reminded us this morning that God, through his Son, goes around looking to see who he can forgive when they accept. It's the opposite of the roaring lion.
Okay.
And in Psalm 103:12, 11 and 12, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us, washed them away.
That takes a miracle. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's what God can do. Only God can do that. And it goes back to what he was saying. He's looking for people. It says in Peter, not wishing that any should perish. That's not God's desire. God does not desire anyone to spend eternity in hell. His desire is that all should come to repentance. He is willing to forgive us. He's willing to forget the sins and accept us into his presence. But we have to be reconciled. Yes, ma'am. Good.
So we do things because we want to, because
good.
The Spirit leads us. It is not a condition for us to get there.
Good. So we get our works in perspective. Our works are not what earns us this reconciliation. We don't, like it says, we don't try to improve our condition enough that maybe God will like us. We can't do it. It's impossible. But now then, once we've been reconciled in Christ, once we have that position, then what should our life look like? Well, it should look more like the one who saved us. And so our works become a joy, something that is driven by the Holy Spirit, not by us trying to, you know, trying to make ourselves better so God, so we'll be more acceptable. God sent His Son to die and bleed for us. How could we possibly think that we could improve on that? So once we've been reconciled and accepted by God, then our lives look wholly different. We're living in our position in Christ. And that drives what our lives look like. It's a miracle. That's all there is to it. There's only one narrow way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Let's have a prayer and we'll turn loose. God, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You that You have given us the miracle of reconciliation, that You have reconciled us back to Yourself through the blood of Christ. We thank You for that kind of love. We thank You for that kind of sacrifice. We thank You for the miracle of reconciliation. And God, we thank You for Your Son who did that just for us. In Your Son's name, amen. Thank you all for being here.